Hello and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to all you regular listeners. I'm so thankful that you are here, and welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. It's no accident that you are here today, friend, so please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around for a bit and let's see what the Lord has for us today. I want you to know that I continue to pray for you. I continue to pray that the Lord would draw you closer to Him, give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word, and that you will be intentional about your time with Him. I say this just about every day. Friends, it is so important. We have to do that. We must do that. Be intentional about spending time with Him and spending time in His Word. That is how we abide in Him. That is how we abide in His Word. And it takes discipline. And it takes doing it even if you think you don't have time or you don't feel like it. But oh, His blessings are so wonderful if we will take that time to deny ourselves, deny what we want to do, and put Him first. He just pours those blessings out. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. Please consider leaving comments or following or subscribing, because that is how others will be able to find this podcast. And that's how we can encourage others to be in God's Word. And know that I love to hear from you. And as I mentioned the last few days, there are now two ways through the podcast that you can connect with me. One is a clickable link that's at the top of every one of the show notes, and it will say something to the effect of, "I love to hear from you. Click here to send me a text." And that works great. It doesn't tell me who you are unless you tell me your name. It won't tell me who you are, but it's just such a blessing. I cannot respond to those, okay? Those are just quick comments. Now, if you want me to respond, you can email me at awordforthisday@gmail.com or on some of the comments of the other social platform medias. There's a way that I can respond to comments there. But if you feel so led, especially some of you that have listened for over and over and over again from other states who I don't know, please just shoot me a text and let me know that you're listening. It's just such a blessing. But again, I won't have your phone number. I won't have your name. I'll just know that you listened. And friends, that's such an encouragement to me. And I appreciate every time that anyone feels led to send that message. Well, our verse for the day for May the 18th, 2024 comes back from the letter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. And it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. "We know that no one who has been born of God sins, but he who was begotten of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him." Oh, friends, is there a lot of stuff here? And at first glance, when we look at that, we may think, whoa, dear, when it says no one who has been born of God sins. But we're going to go back to the original and see what he was meaning, because we are all sinners. We all make mistakes. And until we are completely sanctified and in heaven with him, we may miss the mark. And I fear that I do day to day, either with my thoughts or sometimes with quick words, when I didn't walk by the Spirit completely as I should. But we'll read that that means the one who keeps sinning purposefully, being willfully disobedient. And so we're going to look at all this, and I pray that we'll be encouraged by this today. But first, you know, if you've been on this journey with me for very long, I think it's wise for us to think about where we are in the scripture, what book or letter we're in, who wrote it. And we've been in John's writings already quite a bit this month. Let me look here. This is our, let's see, fourth time in the writings of the Apostle John, and because he wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And I'm thankful for John's writing style. He often tells us why he was writing and the purpose of his writings, and I'm so thankful for that. In fact, in this letter of 1 John, he tells us this in 1 John 5:13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." He so wanted his fellow believers to know that they could know, and I want you to know that as well. This letter of 1 John is such a blessing of encouragement, of that blessed assurance. There are many who will say, well, we can't know these things for sure. We can't know that we're saved for sure. We can only hope that we are. No, God's Word tells us the way that we can know, and that it's believing. And His Spirit testifies with our spirit. And I'm so thankful for that. Well, John also wrote over in John chapter 20, verse 30, he says, "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also did in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." That life, that eternal life, comes through faith. It comes through believing. And so be encouraged about that. Remember that John and his brother James were called by the Lord Jesus. They were fishermen. They're sons of Zebedee. Jesus also nicknamed them as the sons of thunder, based, I think, on a cup. He knew their personality, of course. He created them. Based on some of their reactions at different times at the beginning of the ministry. But they were called by Jesus while they were with their father fishing and mending nets, I believe. And Jesus called them and said, "Follow me." And they left what they were doing and followed Him. John was the youngest of the disciples and also the longest living of the disciples. Of Jesus's 12 who were close to Him, His apostles. And that word apostle means that he was appointed to be a messenger. And we know that Jesus chose from His disciples 12 men whom He called apostles, and He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and authority over every disease and every affliction, and to heal those. And God used them mightily. Jesus used them mightily during His ministry, and then He gave them things to do after He went back to heaven, or as He was going back to heaven, to continue the spread of the good news of this gospel that Jesus came for all of us sinners. He was sent by God, and He came for us. He came to this earth to pay the penalty that we owed to a holy God. Each one of us, because we are sinners, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each one of us owes a debt that we can only pay with our life. And the wages of sin, what sin earns us, is death, but Jesus paid that penalty. He paid for our sins when He died on that cross for us. He was that perfect sacrifice. We read in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. There's no remission of sin. And Jesus, being that perfect sacrifice, died for us on that cross. And the way that we receive that gift, we can't earn it. We can't be good enough to get that gift. It is by faith. It's by believing. And so John talks about that through all of his writings, and I'm so thankful. He described himself as the one, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I've told you before that I think he did not say that out of arrogance. I think it was because he began to realize the weight of Jesus's love for him and for the world based on what Jesus did. Jesus left glory and came here being obedient to the Father to do just what the Father had asked him to do, to make a way for us to be able to come back to the Father. And I'm just so thankful for that. But this letter of 1 John, he is writing to encourage. And we just read that the reason he wanted them to know that that by believing they could have life and they could know that they had eternal life. And so John's writing style in this letter is a very grandfatherly style. He was known as the elder. He was known as John the Apostle, John the Gospel writer, John the Revelator. And he was very much an encourager, being the last surviving apostle, the one who had walked with Jesus and seen Jesus and talked to Jesus. And the Lord allowed him to live much longer than the others to encourage and to exhort and to admonish and to remind. And I'm just so thankful. I love his writing style. Of course, we know that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped, having been thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so God chose John to write in this way. He gave him the words through the Holy Spirit to write this way, and I'm so thankful. I love the way that John opens up. I mean, he tells us why he can write this letter, and it's because he's testifying to what he's seen. Listen to this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we are writing so that our joy may be made complete." He had seen Jesus. He had touched Jesus. He worked with Jesus. He saw these miracles in person. He saw Jesus on the cross. He saw Jesus be placed in that tomb. He saw him after he was resurrected, and he saw him ascend back to heaven. He was there when the Holy Spirit came down on those believers in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. He knew that of which he spoke. And so it's such a blessing that we can read these writings written by him, inspired by God. So John is encouraging throughout this letter. He's encouraging and reminding that Jesus is our advocate. He is the propitiation for our sin, that big churchy word that means that he was the appeasement. He paid that price that God required for sin against him. And then he reminds us throughout about not loving the things of the world. And it's not the people of the world. We're called to love. He very much talks about that commandment that Jesus gave, that we should love God and love one another. But we're not to love the things of this world, because if we love the world more than we love God, if we love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him, he says in 1 John 2:15. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever." He so wanted to remind them, keep your eyes on the Father, your eyes on Jesus. Be led by the Spirit. Don't go after the ways of the world. And spends a lot of time about reminding them about this commandment to love one another, and to really test the spirits to see, is this from God or is this from the world? Is this from God or is this from the evil one? And the way that we can know about that is through the Holy Spirit. And then, as we've talked about a lot before, he reminds us that God is love. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And we talked about that a lot these last few days. And then this last chapter of this letter, he reminds us about we are overcomers and about overcoming the world. And so he gives us these very clear indications throughout this letter about how can we know that we are God's? How can we know that we belong to him and have been born of him? And in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the one who gives new birth loves also the one who has been born of him. So in other words, if we are born of God, we are going to love others. And we are definitely going to love those who are also believers. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and do his commandments. And friends, we've talked about this over and over again. We need to be in his word to know how to do his words. And when he's talking about those commandments, Jesus went back and when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And that neighbor is near one. And so we love like he has loved us. That's evident. That shows the evidence of him having made us new, because our flesh part wants to put self first, does not want to put God first, does not want to put others first. And so this is how we know. So let's hop over to our verse for the day and just read past it so you can hear how he closes this letter out, and then we'll come back and park on our verse. He says, we know that no one who has been born of God sins, but he who was begotten of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then he says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. And of course, that would mean if you have an idol, then you're taking your mind and your heart off of the one true living God and looking away. And so, but when we read our verse, we know that no one who has been born of God sins. As I mentioned, if we just stopped right there and you didn't look it up and see what he means, you'd think, oh, gracious, I sinned yesterday when I had a thought that where I put myself first or something like that. But when we look in the original Greek, it means to keep sinning, to make a practice of sinning, to be willfully disobedient continually. We are all because we are human and because we have a sin nature, we are all going to miss the mark. Now, as he sanctifies us, as he sets us apart and makes us new and keeps working on us and molding us and making us, and we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit more closely, we are less likely to miss the mark as often. But this is talking about making a practice of sin, you know, being willfully against what God has told you you need to do and what you know is right. So people who live a lifestyle or practice things that God has clearly said do not do, and they say, I'm going to do it anyway, you have to wonder then, are you really of God's? Have you really been saved? There's no fruit there if that's the case. You have to look at the fruit. If you are willfully doing what God has said in his word not to do, or you are continuing to affirm and saying, oh, it's okay for you to do that, or encouraging people to do that, encouraging people to sin against a holy God, encouraging people to do with their lives things that God has said, you shall not do these things, and His Word has said you shall not do these things, then you have to wonder, have they really been born again? Have they really accepted Jesus as their Savior? Are they continuing, or are we continuing to walk in the works of the flesh or the deeds of the flesh? Or are we doing what God has called us to do and turned away from those things? If you look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We are all sinners. We all sin. But if we continue to practice it on purpose to set out to do it, that's different. And we're not of Him if that's the case. And then He tells us in the latter part of this verse, but He who was begotten of God keeps Him. So that's referring to Jesus. Jesus was God's only begotten Son. So what this is saying, He who was begotten of God keeps Him. So that Him is referring to the one who has been born of God. So if we have been born of God, Jesus keeps. And when you look up that word, it's to guard or protect. He protects us, and the evil one does not touch Him. Now, you may say, well, bad things happen to us, so what does that mean that the evil one doesn't touch Him? When you look up that word for touch in the Greek that was used here, that means to lay hold of or to grasp in order to harm. And so, if we look back when Jesus was teaching in John chapter 10, and He was talking about His sheep and the sheep that His Father had given Him and how He took care of them. Listen to this in John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, ever. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So the evil one may tempt, test, torment, you know, cause trouble, just like he did with Job. And there's always going to be that battle, but he can't have our soul. Jesus does not lose any that the Father has given Him. And so that should be such an encouragement. We are going to have difficulties here on this earth because we live in a fallen world. The devil is going to try his best to cause trouble. Sometimes things are going to happen, as we've talked about, to get our attention. God is getting our attention with some of these things to get us to rely on Him completely, like we talked about those in the Minor Prophets earlier this week. Sometimes it happens, things happen so that people are able to see how we walk with God through those as a testimony. Sometimes things happen because we don't know what all is going on behind the scenes in the heavenly realms. But what we do know, if we are His and we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior and we have turned away from our sinful ways and are following us and we have been saved, that the devil may be able to torment and test and try, but he can't have our soul. He cannot have our soul. And I love that. We know that no one who has been born of God keeps on sinning or sins. We don't make a practice of it. But he who was begotten of God keeps Him. That's Jesus. He protects us. He guards us. And the evil one does not touch Him. Oh, friends, that should be such an encouragement. No matter how difficult the way is, God is greater. God is greater. His will and his ways are perfect. He cares for his own. Don't forget that. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.